everyone. You are listening to Hot Off the Mess. I am your host, Samantha Bush. I am coming to you live this week from Brooklyn, New York. If you follow my Instagram, you might know that I am officially full-time with The Dip. That's The Dip with two P's. If you haven't followed them on Instagram or been to thedip.com, you really should check it out. It's a dream come true. I couldn't be happier. I'm working with like amazing women who are like so smart and so funny, and I don't know what they see in me, but like I'm riding this wave. So I'm just so happy to be here. Also, Brooklyn is so cute, you guys. I have never been here. I've been to New York before, like when I went, when I was on Sirius. I mean, a little like self-promotion here. When I was on Amy Phillips' show, she does Reality Checked every day at 4 p.m. on Sirius Radio. So I've been there before, but I've never been to Brooklyn. And I'm feeling very Alex McCord vibes. And that's a good thing because she's kind of a living legend. Her and Simon, I do want to go and see if I can find their townhome that was like under construction for the five seasons that she was on. Technically, she was actually only on four, but it was like 5 years that they were filming. So yeah, if you haven't checked out The Dip, please do. And this week I'm even more excited because there will be some new segments and I'm really excited about that. So let's get started. Every week, I am going to be doing a pop culture today segment. So that will really have me go into detail of what the fuck went down on this day, however many years ago. This week is a good one, and it might not seem that significant to you, but it is to me. And I love everything that led to what happened on June 25th of 2006. Is the day Oscar winner and living legend Nicole Kidman married country singer Keith Urban. And now you're probably thinking to yourself, like, who the fuck cares? Who cares about Nicole Kidman? Who cares about Keith Urban? Like, but you know what? I do. And so I'm going to talk about it because I love her. I'm not into like highbrow films such as like The Hours or like maybe, what was the other movie she was in? Cold Mountain. I'm more of like a Bewitched or like a Moulin Rouge, or I mean, she was in Big Little Lies. Like, I'll fuck with the Big Little Lies, but really loved her in those movies. I grew up with Nicole Kidman. I was like obsessed with her at the Oscars. My mom and I would watch the Oscars every single year together. It was like our thing. And yeah, I had just had this like really deep like love for her. Okay, but the thing is about Nicole is she was once married to Tom Cruise. And if you haven't Googled Nicole Kidman's divorce from Tom, and then there will be a photo that pops up, and it is of Nicole literally rejoicing in a parking lot. Like, she was leaving the law office or the law firm or wherever she was after she signed her divorce papers and was officially finalized that her and this monster were no longer together. It's a blessing. I mean, she needed to escape that guy. He's an absolute lunatic. And they divorced in 2001. So she didn't meet Keith for like five. Well, she met him in 2005. I'll get into that. But they got married in 2006. Today, happy anniversary, you guys. You guys are little cuties. But let's talk about something cute. The reason why we're talking about Keith and Nicole. Now, I love love. I know that men can be like literal dumpster humans. But I really love their love story. So they had met in 2005 at a gala. And she says that she was like, he didn't even like me, let alone like love at first sight. Like, he didn't give me the time of day. Like, but he says that's not what happened. He was just trying to play it cool. Listen, he's not my type. I'm sure he's someone's type out there. He's Nicole's, obviously, because I think she likes like the pointed nose with like the long straightened hair, because Tom had that look for a while. But Keith, he's a nice guy. He's a nice guy. He looks like the husband of the one season wonder Tiffany on Real Housewives of Dallas, the one that was like always playing guitar and it was really awkward. And they like moved back to LA because I don't think it worked out for them in Dallas. But yeah, so they met there. And I mean, I'm pretty sure he was awestruck, like being a country singer from Australia, and then you're meeting like the Oscar winner Nicole Kidman, who had like literally just won this award. Like, she was coming off of like 5 years of pouring herself into her work, a la Liam Neeson, you know, after a breakup or a tragedy such as what he has gone through. Like, he just threw himself into his work. So did she. So she was really ready to settle down. She says she was really happy with her professional life, but she wanted her personal life to be to like do something with it. Then 4 months later, after this gala that they met at, he called her. He says that he had something to take care of before he could really date her, and maybe that's why he waited 4 months to call her. I want to know what that is. I've been trying to figure it out for days. I've been like doing this research, trying to figure out like what Keith was like settling. I'm sure it was a relationship and he maybe like wasn't feeling it anymore. Very triggered by that as of recently, but it's fine. We're fine. But Keith said to CBS that marrying her wasn't life-changing, but it was life-beginning. And I think we all need to like really sit with that and really reflect, because that's fucking beautiful, okay? And now a personal anecdote from my friend Taylor. She worked for American Idol, and he was obviously a judge on American Idol at the time that she was working. And she said one day she was in the control room and she could see him recording a video for Nicole, saying how much he missed her and all these like wonderful things about her. And he was saying, you know, that he was thinking about her. I just thought that that was so sweet. And I just want to wish them congratulations. Happy anniversary. You guys made it in Hollywood like over 10 years. That is not an easy feat to do. And they have children together. I know one of their children's name is Sunday, which whatever, teach their own. There's weirder names in Hollywood than that. So, you know, we got to give it to them. Now, really quick, it is officially the beginning of cancer season. It started on, it depends on like what website you look at, honestly, if you're Googling horoscopes. It either starts June 21st or June 22nd. But I just want to cover who is a Cancer in the Housewives universe, because I think this is really important. It might give you some insight on like their behavior and like who they are as people. So Cancers are notoriously very emotional, sensitive people. I have a couple friends who are Cancers, and I can attest to this. Like, this is very true. So the Housewives that are Cancers are Lisa Rinna, Erica Jayne, Portia, and Brandi Redmond. I really didn't want to include Brandi Redmond in this because I don't think she's a housewife anymore, thank God. But the traits of someone who is a Cancer is they're out, like I said, emotional, sensitive, reactive, humorous, hates dishonesty, and they're impulsive. Now, I have to laugh because this idea that Rinna like hates dishonesty, for example, which we have seen on the show countless times, is she's constantly saying, own it, baby. And it's just really obnoxious at this point because she's best friends with Erica Jayne. I mean, enough said there. You know, Erica is coming off extremely dishonest as of recently with all that we know. So I just find that to be really interesting. I really love like a housewife zodiac moment. My zodiac sign is a Scorpio. And so the housewives that are Scorpios, I know it's not Scorpio season, but I'll like make it about me for a second, is Brandi Glanville, Phaedra Parks, Gretchen Rossi, Bethany Frankel, and Ramona Singer. If that is not a fucking powerhouse of chaos, I don't know what is. Like, throw those women in a room together and it will be like a mass murder. I don't know who would come out alive, to be honest. It would be so chaotic, so emotional. They would be like at each other's throats, but also I think that maybe they would be like the best of friends, because I really love a Ramona Bethany like frenemy moment. That's really important to me. It's like one of the foundations of like my life is I grew up with Bethany and Ramona, just constantly going at it, but then also being there for each other and like the hardest times of their life. I will never forget when they, I think it was season 10, her and Bethany really came together over like their childhoods. It was actually like a really beautiful moment between the two of them. And that is when we learned the famous quote, "To my daughter, Ramona Mazur Singer, I bequeath nothing." And I'll leave it at that. Now, I talk about this every single week, and I think I will continue to talk about it every single week until they stop giving us something new every single week, because the A-Rod Bennifer saga has continued yet again. There is something new in the news this week about A-Rod being seen with Lindsay Shookus. Now, Lindsay Shookus works for SNL, and she famously dated Ben Affleck several years ago. She's beautiful. She's like got it going on. But I really am loving these, I want to say they're staged paparazzi photos of A-Rod like drinking gigantic bottles of Pellegrino out at like dinners by himself. He's sitting outside right on the street. He's like an attention-seeking like little loser. I just cannot stand him. You were FaceTiming Madison from Southern Charm. What the fuck did you think was going to happen? A-Rod's rep did say that he, like, there's nothing going on with him and Lindsay, but it's just the idea that he was seeking this out in a way to maybe start a rumor, and it just creates more chaos. Like, honestly, it's genius. This idea that Ben and Jennifer are dating, she was engaged to A-Rod, he dated Lindsay. What is Jennifer Garner up to? I need to know what the fuck she's doing. She's probably horrified at all of this. But I can't get enough. I can't get enough. We haven't got a good J-Lo Ben pick in a while. I mean, in a while, I mean like 6 days. I would really appreciate if they did like a quick little pick walking down the beach. I know that she has a place in the Hamptons. I would like to see them in the Hamptons. You know where I would really like to see them? I would like to see them on like a How to Lose a Guy with 10 Days type of getaway. Like when Matthew McConaughey took Kate Hudson home and they played Bullshit with his family on the porch. And they were like on a Vespa together. And that's the kind of getaway I would want from Ben and Jennifer. Like, I want her to go home to Boston with him, sit on a balcony, and play bullshit with each other and just have like a good old time. But also, I want paparazzi to be there, or like a really shitty acquaintance of theirs who they should not trust, but that will take photos and sell them so that I can see them. And then I can talk about it and post about it, because this is getting me through these days, you guys. You really have no idea. Another new couple that recently became kind of like Instagram official, but non-official, they posted the same photo, like of the same location on their Instagram stories, but they didn't post like each other in the photos. It is Millie Bobby Brown and Jake, I'm gonna butcher it. You guys, I'm gonna butcher this name. Jake Bongiovi. And when I first read that, I was like, no, that is he related to John Bon Jovi? And then I was like, there's just no way. No, he is. He's the son of the singer John Bon Jovi. And I completely do not know how to pronounce his name. It's so embarrassing. I don't understand it. How like my brain just like is not computing that word. Oh God, it's so embarrassing. Okay. And then we are going to discuss the Kardashian reunion / the Triscuit Thompson scandal. I will only be referring to him as Triscuit Thompson for the rest of my days, because he does not deserve to have his full name ever uttered ever again. I hope at basketball games, I really hope this catches on. I hope the announcers only call him Triscuit Thompson. I hope people get wind of this and like it just never leaves. But he was seen out partying with multiple women. Now, I think that that's all it took for Khloé to be like, this is done. Because at the reunion, if you guys watched, I really enjoyed it. If you were expecting like a housewife type of reunion and that level of drama, like you were setting yourself up for failure. That will never happen. The Kardashians would never turn on each other like that. They would not like bring out receipts of text messages between one or the other. They're family. And that's what we love about them. Is that their family and they put each other first. I mean, if you really think about it, what other really famous family would stick this close together for this long at the level of fame that they're at? It's honestly kind of beautiful. As an only child, like one can only dream of something like that. Kris Jenner I think she's a miracle worker, and I think, you know, we really need to respect her. But so at the reunion, Khloé seemed down. She seemed a little detached. She seemed a little nervous to be there. She seemed not herself. I haven't seen Khloé, like a glimpse of Khloé Money, in like a while. It's been, I think, ever since Triscuit really came into the picture. She has been kind of like, he's been kind of chipping away at her self-confidence with all the cheating scandals that he's been putting her through. I mean, 2 days before she was giving birth, he was seen out and about, like, finger-banging some girl in the club. It was so inappropriate. And I get it when people are like, she's an idiot for taking him back. But at the same time, it's like, okay, she does have a kid with him. I think she's too empathetic for people. I think she tries to understand where they're coming from and where they're at a little bit more than she maybe should. I think she needs to stand up for herself a little bit more. A la Kimmy. Kimmy, my sweet Kimmy, would never stand for this. And I know that. I saw the look in her eyes at the reunion. She literally hates Triscuit. She hates him so much, but she's putting all that hatred aside for little baby Drew. And I really respect that about her. I will go on a rant about how much I love Kimmy Kardashian for the rest of my life, but I won't do that to you. But so Andy was asking Khloé about Triscuit and where they're at now. And she's like, you know, he's worked really hard to like build this trust over the last year and a half. We weren't together the last season we were filming, which that felt weird because they seemed to be a little bit together, but maybe they were just quarantining. I don't know. It's too messy to like really keep up with at times, but she seemed in like an okay place with him. And this man, not even 2 days after this final part of the reunion airs, he's out and about with three women at a party. I would be, no, we're done. We're done with him. We cannot keep doing this with him. I think there's no trust there. And once you lose trust, you guys, it's really hard to gain it back. It's like a broken window. Isn't that what people say? Or like a broken mirror. It's a broken mirror, not a broken window. And you can repair it, but there will always be the cracks. And I think the same goes for Courtney and Scott. I wrote about my level of disdain for Scott Disick last week because I just need to remind the younger generation, the ones that did not grow up watching the early seasons of The Kardashians while it was airing, what a fucking piece of work he was and all of the shit that he put Courtney through. I mean, I detailed it. Go to thedip.com. I wrote all about it. I think that there's this really interesting phenomenon actually going on. This is going to be a little bit of a side rant. I think there's a little bit of a nostalgic spin people are taking when it comes to old relationships that were just incredibly toxic. Let's look at Justin and Selena, for example. Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez. They were together when they were basically children, and they were together for years, but they were off and on. It seemed very toxic. It didn't seem like a good relationship. They both kind of come out and said, you know, not directly saying Justin was a loser, like he was doing this to me or he cheated on me. It was never anything like that, but they've just alluded to the fact that it was just not a healthy situation for either of them. And yet every single fucking day I log on to TikTok, which that just showed my age, who says log on? I go onto TikTok and I always see these like weird video compilation videos of like people's relationships, like Sammy and Ronnie from Jersey Shore. Are you guys, like, I want to look at everyone and be like, are you okay? They were horrible together. They were in like a full-on abusive relationship. And I mean, look at Ronnie now. He is constantly being accused of hitting his ex-girlfriend, and now he's engaged and I guess they're pregnant. He's turned off all his comments on Instagram. He is a fucking mess. But all I'm saying is like, Scott and Courtney do not need to be together. She is happy with Travis. I'm very into their relationship. I did just see a video. It was really sweet. Someone took it secretly of them. They were on vacation and he was walking a little bit in front of her and she like walked behind him and she jumped on him and she just looked so happy. I haven't seen that little sprite happy in a while. The little tiny girl. I love her so much. I mean, I know why people don't like her, but I enjoy her. And Scott looked rough at the reunion, in my opinion. He looked so out of place. He has nothing going on behind his eyes. He's like got dead eyes. He's got this bleach blonde buzz cut. It's out of control. And then they're talking about him dating younger girls. And he's like, I don't seek young girls out. They seek me out. And I'm like, well, Sophia was Kylie's friend, first of all. So you knew her when she was an actual child. So I don't really like that. And I know Chris is close, you know, I know that they're in the same kind of social circle as Lisa Rinna. So I don't really know how that match happened, but I can only imagine it's an interesting dynamic between the two of them. I do enjoy the fact that Travis liked an Instagram comment about Amelia and Scott. And it was basically like, what does this 19-year-old girl have in common with like a group of 35-year-olds when she goes to dinner with them? And he was just at dinner with Scott and Courtney and like a bunch of other people. And Amelia happened to be there as well. So I think that's kind of funny too, because it's like, what a fucking joke. Scott, date someone at least 25 or older. Please, I dare you. I fucking double dog dare you. Do something other than date girls that aren't even eligible. Like, they can't even drink. And maybe, you know, that is a theory I have had for a long time, is maybe he dates these girls that are, you know, over 18 but younger than 21 because they legally can't drink. So maybe that, they probably do drink underage, allegedly. I'm throwing alleged. I don't want to get in trouble. Yeah, wow. See, I'm working through this right now. Maybe that's why he does it, because he wants to stay as sober as he can and doesn't want to drink, and maybe that won't tempt him as much. Listen, Lord only knows. I don't understand what that man is doing, and I don't feel sympathy for him. I do when it comes to, like, losing his parents within a short amount of time together. That I feel bad about. But when it comes to, like, his victim portrayal of, like, Courtney just won't take me back, it just bothers me, because it's like, you were a terrible partner to her. You cheated on her, you punched mirrors, you didn't want to get help. And Courtney, I just was recently rewatching season one, actually. She was already kind of like a closed off person. Like, she already didn't really have, it was hard for her to share her emotions. And she said that when she's with Scott, she feels like she can, you know, express herself. And I think once he, like, betrayed her, she was like, no, I can't do this anymore with you, and kind of shut down. And that's the Courtney that we've all been seeing for the last several years. So I hope Travis, I think he makes her happy. They're always posting really sexy photos on Instagram, like the one, like, where she's sucking his thumb and he has got, like, a cast on. I don't know what's going on there, but I'm into it. And I'm very into, like, their PDA. I love the fact that they hang out with Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox. I think that is, like, another really hot couple. I'm not very attracted to MGK, but he is friends with Pete Davidson, besties. And so I'll say whatever I need to do to, like, get a date with Pete Davidson, even though he is dating the girl of Bridgerton. I'm just saying, we could be a throuple. I don't care. All right. Now to talk about Erica Jane really quick. I'm just going to touch on this briefly. Erica Jane is losing her goddamn mind. A photo came out of her pumping gas. She looked rough. She didn't look the Erica like we normally see her, with glam, or, like, even in, like, a slick back ponytail or bun, or even, like, a cute outfit. This girl looked like someone that I see in Detroit at a 7-Eleven. Like, this was not Erica Jane. Twitter was literally having the time of their life with this photo, because I think everyone, you know, was like, oh, shit, must be really bad. If this is, obviously she can't pay her glam squad because of all of the things that are going on in her life right now. And she's just over on Twitter, like, doing the absolute most. She's saying Twitter thinks that they know everything. It's like they've never seen someone pump gas before. And it's, I find her to be so disgusting. And, who even knows the truth of what was going on with her and Tom, these plane crash victims and the other victims that we learned about during The Housewife and The Hustler last week. We don't know the truth, but just her behavior online while this is all going on is so bizarre to me. There's, like, not an ounce of, like, self-awareness there. It's this constant, like, victim mentality. You guys are, bullying me over this photo where I look like shit. It's like, no, they're not bullying you over that. They're harassing you online because you don't seem to give a fuck about what's being said about you in the press. You're just, like, constantly posting thirst traps of Fenty lingerie on Instagram, and it's getting weird. That's all I have to say. It's just getting really weird. I just want to say thank you guys so much for listening. You guys are amazing. And if you haven't already subscribed and rated and reviewed this podcast, please do. And you guys, if you hate my voice, keep that to your fucking self. I don't want to hear about it. Please, you can talk shit about me to, like, your friends, but, like, I don't need to get DMs or read podcast reviews that say, like, your voice is a nightmare, because I'm aware I have to hear it every single day, all day. And also, The Dip has other great podcasts. There's TV Watch Repeat. There's the Slut Pig podcast hosted by Christian Grey Snow. There's Pop Chaser. They're just amazing podcasts that are coming out every single week. I know that there's other ones in the works that are really, really exciting. So you guys should go check those out and make sure you subscribe, rate, review. And thank you guys so much. I'll talk to you in a little bit.